all get up next to a spouse that you can't stand. Then you go to a job which you despise. And then you come home to children that you say you love. But deep down, you think to yourself that they're nothing but soft, spoiled little disappointments.
Listening to Smack Talk Radio Live, your source for news, views, and opinions on everything wrestling, from the big leagues to the local scene. Now, here's James McDonald and Corey Callahan.
2012 is rolling on, and already we've seen some great and some not-so-great moments from the WWE. We are on the road to WrestleMania with only 17 days left until the Royal Rumble. Hello everyone, and welcome to yet another edition of Smack Talk Radio Live. My name is James McDonald, alongside Corey the Man Callahan, and we are broadcasting to you from the Smack Talk studios in beautiful Vancouver, British Columbia. Corey, what's your take on what we've witnessed so far?
I'm rolling with it, for now. I gotta say, not too interested in the main event program happening on Raw, which is a real shame because typically as I head into the Royal Rumble, I'm losing sleep and excitement. We'll get to all things WWE soon enough, though, in our Tale of the Tape. And as always, we're getting you caught up in our post-to-post report.
And in tonight's local wrestling scene, we have a talk with the owner of ECCW, Michael Sweetser, and he's going to fill us in on the big news happening in that promotion. Also in tonight's Top 5, we are going over the Top 5 Worst Gimmicks.
Make sure you check out www.smacktalkradiolive.com or join in on facebook.com/smacktalkradio.
Right now, though, let's Japanese arm drag things off with the Tale of the Tape.
It's time for the Tale of the Tape.
It's Thursday evening, Smack Talk Radio Live, back on the air.
That's right, buddy. How are you tonight?
I'm not doing too bad. How are you?
I'm doing real good. I'm pumped for tonight's show. I think it's going to be a good one.
Should be good. It's actually been a good week for me all around. I made two big purchases in my life in the last week.
Do tell.
Well, I'll start off by saying I did get a brand new TV.
Oh, wow.
Finally mounted on the wall. Why are you acting like you're surprised? You've seen it.
I got to play along for the show. Come on now.
It was pretty cool, actually.
It is very nice.
I got the guy to come and install it on my wall, and he hid all the cables in the wall. You know what I mean?
So you don't see
any cables of any kind.
So how did he do that? He drilled like a hole inside your wall?
It is beyond impressive what this guy does to hide the cables in a wall. It's too long to get into, but it is very impressive.
Oh, cool.
And then, of course, the other big purchase I made last week was a new MacBook Pro laptop.
Nothing but good things for the show.
And that's exactly what it is for. It's for this show. We need to become mobile, James, if we're going to take the show on the road when we head to Miami.
Can only do that with a laptop, that's for sure.
That's right. So I bought the best of the best, and $2,600 later, here we are.
Ooh.
Yeah, well, when you're making Callahan Entertainment money... No, I'm just joking. All right, so this is Smack Talk Radio Live. It is Thursday evening, like I said, and just in case you didn't know that already. And before we get going, James, let me just remind everyone, www.smacktalkradiolive.com, or, of course, join in on facebook.com/smacktalkradio, and that's where we're encouraging everyone to go, is to our Facebook page.
That's right.
And sign up, because you can... You don't check out the website every day on a regular basis.
No, but you do check out Facebook every day, and really that's where all the action's happening. So if you haven't already, check it out, facebook.com/smacktalkradio. Hit that like button. You'll receive all the updates. You'll know what's going on in the world of Smack Talk Radio.
This man is a marketing machine.
I try, my friend. I try.
Are you getting excited for the Royal Rumble?
I'm always excited for the Royal Rumble. I said this last week. I'm always excited for the Royal Rumble.
As I said in the opening there, I'm not too excited about the actual, the programs that are taking place.
Yeah, I have to agree with you there, but for, I'm always excited for the actual Rumble match itself, I mean.
It's pretty sad though when you're excited about something that's been happening over and over again, as opposed to what's happening currently, you know what I mean? Like, I'm more excited for the historic part of the Royal Rumble than I am for the current product.
Yeah, it's just, again, poor writing on WWE's part, and of course we'll get into it on tonight's Tale of the Tape. Should we kick things off?
Yeah, why not? I'm thinking about
it. All right. Well, Corey, the first thing I got to ask you on tonight's Tale of the Tape is, what the funk is up with Brodus Clay? I mean, that's got to be our number one topic, I think, after last week's Monday Night Raw.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. Let's get right into it. Here is a clip from Brodus Clay versus Curt Hawkins.
Woo.
I like all the gyrations.
You do?
Just... C-plex,
baby.
C-plex. Oh, no. Oh, man.
My bad.
What is he doing? My bad. I think he just apologized.
Oh, no.
Oh! Uh-oh. Oh! Thanks for coming, Hawkins. Brodus, impressive in his debut.
Hawkins is squashed. Yeah, the Thunderosaurus. Brodus Clay.
Somebody better call Hawkins mama. Or an ambulance.
Well, there you have it, folks. That was pretty much the whole match right there.
Yeah.
That was a squash and a half. But the thing that was the shocking part was the gimmick that Brodus Clay came out to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, unbelievable. So anyways, after months of delay, Corey, by John Laurinaitis, and all these video vignettes depicting him as this unstoppable monster, Brodus Clay, whose real name actually is George Murdoch, and he used to be a bodyguard for Snoop Doggy Dogg. I don't know if a lot of you know that.
Any relation to Trevor Murdoch?
I don't think so, no.
Probably not.
Probably not, no. But anyways, he finally made his debut this week on Raw as the Funkasaurus, hailing from Planet Funk, and in a squash match, which you just heard there, against Curt Hawkins. Now, Brodus came out to the song that you heard in the background called Somebody Call My Mama. Now, this song was originally used by Ernest the Cat Miller back in 2004. I don't know, do you remember the Royal Rumble 2004 where he came out to the song, danced in the ring, and then three guys just threw him out?
WWE's done this before. I remember they did it with the Patriot and Kurt Angle.
That's right.
Yes, yeah. I remember they have this tendency to stockpile old entrance musics in a library or a vault somewhere, and when they think the public has forgotten about it, they just bring out the old record and think no one's heard it before.
Doesn't WWE have a guy on their payroll that is...
Oh, they have a whole department.
Whose job is actually... But don't they have like a single guy? I thought they had like a single guy whose job it was to make these entrance songs.
Yeah, there is. I can't remember the guy's name
for
the life of me.
I know there's like one single guy, and he's been on the payroll for like almost ever.
Mm-hmm.
And
he has a team of guys working with him.
Well,
but there is one guy that is in charge of the music.
Yeah.
Entrance music, yeah. So, I don't know. Maybe he had a week off. Maybe he was on holidays.
I don't know.
It's quite possible.
Well... Anyways, going back to Brodus Clay, instead of this dominating wrestling style, which I was totally expecting to see from him, I mean, we were given what I can explain it as is a mixture of Disco Inferno, Flash Funk, and pretty much The Godfather. We had choreographed dancing in a red Adidas tracksuit, and he had two female dancers dancing along with him, and he even stated himself, do you remember before the match, he even stated himself that, I bet you didn't see this coming, so...
Yeah.
So I'll tell you, I sure didn't see this coming. That's
and that's
sure.
That's the truth. I mean, this really was all about shock value. And as I said on Monday's show, I feel that this Brodus Clay debut had something to do with the fact that they just wanted to surprise the heck out of everyone. And with surprising people these days comes people talking about it on social media websites like Facebook and Twitter. So I think when people saw this on Monday Night Raw, immediately they jumped to their Facebook or their Twitter and they started posting hashtag Brodus Clay and giving the WWE exactly what they wanted.
Well, yeah, exactly. If that was the purpose they were going for, they succeeded to a T. I mean, everybody's been talking about Brodus Clay in this weird debut this week, and whether you like it or not.
Now, were they talking about it in a positive way, or are they talking about it in a negative way?
Well, it's funny, because from what I've seen, it's been kind of a mixed reaction. A lot of people are negative towards it, but yet some people are positive towards it and are getting behind it.
Well, I'm very interested to see the argument for how it could be positive.
I don't think it's positive, personally.
No.
And I've got a few questions here I think we should discuss. Like, let's go to the first one here. Like, why would the WWE now, why would they rush Brodus on air with a bad gimmick that could potentially damage his credibility beyond repair? Why would they do this to him?
Well, we've seen wrestlers before come out initially with bad gimmicks. I mean, right off the top of my head, I'm thinking Isaac Yankem, DDS.
Yeah, I'm thinking Stone Cold, actually, with the Ringmaster.
And they've completely turned their careers around. So you can't judge a book by one night. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
I know. It's only been one segment, really, that we've seen it. So.
I mean, it's enough to make people laugh immediately, and it's enough to possibly damage his career, for sure. But Jim Ross posted it in his blog. It's one night. Next week, he could come out, and he could be absolutely devastating and do something that impresses the heck out of everyone, and all of our thoughts are changed around immediately, 180 degrees, just like that. I mean, it's week one. I think that people were expecting this monster of Brodus Clay to come out and appear, and instead they got a complete joke, and that's what wrestling's all about, shock and surprise.
I think the biggest shock for me, Corey, was him coming out as a babyface as opposed to this monster heel that we've been led to believe is going to be debuting, right?
But it just goes to show you that if the WWE markets something and they ram something down your throat, they can force you to believe anything. Because, let's face it, our jaws hit the floor when Brodus Clay walked out. I mean, it was
crazy.
And you know the people backstage at WWE are just laughing their asses off. I mean, this is just a big joke to them.
And I like I said on the previous episode, I could have swore that Clay was going to debut in the Rumble match and have a strong showing, and that was going to be his re-debut. But
Well, I've never felt the way you have about Brodus Clay, and what I saw Monday sort of assures me that possibly the people backstage maybe feel the same as I do.
Well, I don't know why about that. But let me ask you this, Corey. Who was responsible for this gimmick, do you think? Now, was this thrust upon him by Vince McMahon and the WWE, or do you think Clay himself had some creative input with this gimmick?
Oh, I'm sure Brodus Clay did have a creative input. But at the same time, I think Vince McMahon is probably a bit of a mastermind behind this. I mean, I'm reminded of a scene from a documentary where Vince McMahon is talking to Darren Drozdoff about what his character is going to debut as. And I remember when Vince McMahon was telling him about the puke gimmick and how he wanted Darren Drozdoff to debut as puke. I mean,
call him puke.
Yeah. And Vince McMahon gets something in his head and he goes with it. And I think in this instance, he really wanted to shake things up with the fans and he wanted to just surprise the hell out of them. So this is what he came up with. And that's what Brodus Clay was given. I mean, I can honestly say that Brodus Clay probably has absolutely no creative input on his character.
Oh, to me, this has Vince McMahon's fingerprints all over it. I mean, I don't think Clay had any input on this whatsoever.
And let's be realistic. You are a NXT competitor. You didn't win the show. Basically,
you should have won the show.
But basically, this is probably exactly how it goes down. Hey, Brodus, you either can do what we tell you or you can go home. You can collect a large paycheck from us and, you know, go on the road, travel all over the world, but you may have to do a couple embarrassing things along the way.
Or you can wrestle for $50 in the indies.
Exactly. And the other way to look at this is Brodus Clay really hasn't paid his dues. So this could be construed as paying your dues instead of paying it long-term through the indie organization, maybe you come out as a comedic act and that's a way of paying your dues now in the WWE.
Yeah, I guess I could see that, but I don't know. I personally don't like it. It's not what I expected, and I don't think it suits Clay to his strengths.
No. But if you're Brodus Clay and Vince McMahon tells you that this is what you're debuting as, are you going to tell him no?
No, of course not.
Exactly. So to me, this reeks of Vince McMahon.
So why wouldn't Vince McMahon play to his strengths then? That's my next question.
Well, he quite possibly will. I mean, it's not the end of the world. I mean, it's not over yet. It's not a one-night special. I mean, he could come back next week. Who knows? Maybe he comes out next week on Monday and wearing the black tights, he's got the intimidating music. Maybe that was just a one-time thing to make everyone laugh and we start all over again next Monday. I mean, you don't know. It's one time. You don't know where he goes from here.
It's true. I hear what you're saying there.
So, is it damaging to his credibility? Absolutely. Because there's no way I can see him coming out as an intimidating force next Monday and having everyone believe it.
This will be his sexual chocolate. This will be the thing that he will never be able to get away from his entire career. I mean, look at Mark Henry. He's still got people chanting sexual chocolate at him, and this is what it's going to be for Brodus Clay. People are going to chant Funkasaurus now for the rest of his career.
Yeah.
So,
but I think Mark Henry has done a good job of getting away from that gimmick. I mean, I don't think... when I think Mark Henry, I don't think of sexual chocolate. So is it possible to escape those bad gimmicks? Absolutely.
You probably don't think of sexual chocolate right away, but It's in the back of your mind when you think of Mark Henry.
But then also what's in the back of my mind is that the guy was just world heavyweight champion and he had everyone convinced that he should be the world heavyweight champion.
Well, it only took him 15 years, though.
I'm just saying. It is possible. There's living proof right there.
Okay, let me ask you this then, Corey. Do you think Clay will ever ascend beyond opening or mid-card status with this gimmick that he's got?
Well, it completely depends on what direction they put him in. I mean, if they keep him as a comedic act, then no. It's a steady downfall and it won't be long until he's on Superstars. But if they can turn it around, because what I can see happening with Brodus Clay is he's going to be a big joke and a big comedy act outside when that bell rings. But as soon as that bell rings and that match starts, I think that Brodus Clay is going to become this big intimidating force in the ring. So outside the ring, he's all fun and games. Inside the ring, he's going to be a monster and he's going to really impress people with the moves that he can do and just how strong this guy actually is. So
I sure hope so, because he does. He's got phenomenal in-ring talent, yeah. I think.
So he could ascend beyond mid-card status. He possibly could be a champion at one point. After what we saw on Raw, it's definitely 100% going to take a ton of convincing to turn everyone's opinions around.
Oh, absolutely. And the Godfather, he was Intercontinental Champion. You think you could see that happening with Brodus?
Well, I mean, let's be realistic. If it's a very similar gimmick, yeah, absolutely. I don't think that's far from reality.
Yeah. So can you take Brodus Clay seriously after this?
It all depends on Monday. If he comes out, same gimmick, does the same thing again, then no, I won't take him seriously. But if he comes out and does something substantial, which I could see them doing, then yes, I could take him serious.
Do you think he's still going to have a strong showing in the Royal Rumble?
The
Royal Rumble match, I mean.
I'm going to answer that question next week, or, you know, next show.
Monday.
Yeah,
fair enough.
Because I can't answer that at this point.
Fair enough. So, last but not least, where do you think Clay is going to go from here? Who do you think he could have possible feuds with?
Well,
being that he's a babyface.
I know
that's a tough question, isn't it?
Yeah, it's too early to tell.
It is
I mean,
too
you
early.
Threw him against Curt Hawkins this week, so I can't answer that either. I feel that everything is dependent upon this next showing.
You know what I think? I think we're going to see squash matches up to the Royal Rumble match.
Yeah.
And then after the Royal Rumble, we'll see maybe a developed feud with Brodus Clay. I don't know. It all depends. It depends on what his reaction with the crowd is going to be like too, right?
One thing I do know, and I will bet my entire life savings are on this, Brodus Clay will not win the Royal Rumble.
No. Nope. I will agree with you 100% there. Brodus Clay is definitely not going to win the Royal Rumble.
No, so there's not a chance. I mean, that just shirred it up, and I never thought he would. But I'm just saying, like, next week is so important for the future of his character. What happens, I just don't know. But it's up to them. It's up to them. And if they choose to take him seriously, he could turn it around. If they don't, I'm sorry, but it's Superstars for you, Brodus Clay. All right, why don't we move on? Well, actually, before we move on, this does bring us actually to our poll question.
Oh, yes.
The poll question. Log on to Facebook.com/SmackTalkRadio and cast your vote.
Okay, the poll question. Poll question, of course, is going to be about Brodus Clay this week. And it is, do you think Brodus Clay's re-debut on Raw with this Funkasaurus gimmick was career suicide? And this week, we've only got two options, yes or no. So log on, facebook.com/smacktalkradio, cast your vote.
I'm going with yes.
I'm going to go with yes as well. So far, it's 100%.
There you go. 100% of the voting so far. Two votes. It's more than we've had the whole time we've been doing this show. Okay, James, one thing we had mentioned, I had played a clip off the top of the show, and that was about John Cena and Kane.
Oh, my gosh.
And just the main event program that's happening on Raw. And I have such an issue with it.
It's so bad, isn't it?
I know. Let me just intro this thing properly. Here is Kane talking about John Cena.
Yeah, Cena represents hope. He represents success. He represents all the things that you people aspire to achieve, but cannot. When you see John Cena, what you should be seeing are your own failures, your shortcomings, your unfulfilled dreams. and it should anger you. And it does. You see, when you say Cena sucks, what you're really saying is that you suck.
That's the best line that he could come up with, James, that you suck.
Jeez. You know what? I don't even think Kane should be speaking, personally.
Well, no. Oh, since he's made his re-debut?
Since he's made his re-debut with the new costume and new mask, I think he should be silent. Like when he first debuted back in 97.
The problem is that Kane is so good on the microphone. You can't deny it.
It is. It is true. He does deliver well.
So
I mean, he
why would you not cater to his strengths like what you were just saying a couple minutes ago?
Because having Kane not speak would make him such a more threatening and imposing character. I mean, yes, I do agree with you. His delivery is spot on, but just the stuff that's being written for him that he's being forced to say is just well, you heard it.
Well, why don't you recap what's happened so far with this whole Kane and John Cena program?
All right. Well, Corey, ever since Kane returned on Raw a few weeks ago with this new mask and outfit I just mentioned, and he chokeslammed John Cena at the end of his match with Mark Henry, Kane and Cena have been embroiled in this feud rivalry with Kane trying to make Cena embrace the hate because, as you know, Cena's got this new Rise Above Hate merchandise that he's wearing.
That's the big tagline for Kane. That's his new line, Embrace the Hate.
Right, and it basically plays on Cena's new tagline, I guess, right? Mm-hmm. Now, Corey, this feud has pretty much been written like a cheap B-horror film. I mean, it's just... I personally think it's terrible. Now, it's even come to include Zack Ryder, and to me, man, this has got to be front-runner for worst program of the year so far. Now, I know the year is young, but I have a feeling come 11 months down the road when we're doing our year-end awards, we'll be talking about this program again.
Okay.
So, I mean, like, so far, okay, people, in this feud, we've seen such winning segments as Cena saving Ryder from being pulled underneath the ring, pulled to hell, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
Okay, we've seen Zack Ryder struggling to change a tire with Eve, you know, with Eve yelling at him from the passenger seat. Oh, it's terrible.
Yeah.
And then we see him getting choke slammed off a dock and bouncing off a mattress, which was even worse. But the best part is Cena getting knocked out repeatedly by Kane putting his hand over his face, and this just somehow magically knocks him out. It's supposed to be like the Von Erich claw or something, and it's just not working.
Well,
not working at all.
I think you need to suspend all belief in this when watching this program. Here are my two main thoughts with this Kane versus John Cena.
Mm-hmm.
Number one is I think it's painfully obvious that this is just filler until The Rock arrives.
Oh, It's written for a 10-year-old, it seems like.
And that's my second point. This whole thing is being written for kids. But I say that, but then if you listen to our clip to open the show tonight, you know, Kane is talking to the parents of these kids, talking about how you sit next to a spouse you hate.
You go to a job that you despise.
And you're looking at the kids in disappointment. So the storyline is clearly based for children, yet Kane is out there trying to convince the adults to follow along in this program. And I'm sorry, but I can't follow along this program. It is so terrible.
Oh.
And everything about it has just collapsed in front of their eyes. I mean, that choke slam that Kane gave to Zack Ryder on Monday Night Raw was beyond bad.
Oh, it was terrible.
And I'm interested to see how they fix that in their highlight packages next week, because it looked terrible.
How about Creeper Kane peeking around doorways?
Like I said,
it's like they've gone to every cheap horror movie and went, okay, let's take every cliche from these bad horror films and include it in this program.
And I'm going to bring something up which we haven't talked about before, and I find this to be so true, and to me, this is a catalyst for making this storyline terrible, but I find that Zack Ryder is just not good on the mic. I don't care what anyone says. I am not convinced on anything he says. I find him to be a grossly overrated wrestler at this point. He cannot deliver lines. He can't. He's so bad.
I don't think he's that bad.
Oh,
really?
Oh.
You think he's bad on the mic?
Absolutely. He's so over the top. He's cheesy. He's corny. He can't. He cannot.
But you know what? That's part of what's getting him over with the crowd.
But it's like he's reading a script. And
part
of being a proper wrestler or a successful wrestler is not making the fans think, or making the fans think that you're not reading a script.
Yeah, delivery is half the battle.
He's terrible at his delivery. He is beyond bad. He's just up there with John Cena. Those two should be a tag team somewhere else, because they don't
really.
They're ruining the whole show.
I gotta disagree with you there. I'd say Cena's worse at his delivery than Zack Ryder.
I think they're both terrible. They should be dating, because they are so similar in that department. It's so bad. I cannot stand watching Zack Ryder.
You know what? I've got no problem with Zack Ryder on the mic, but that's just me. So anyways, like, so we're forced into this main event program. It's at the beginning of Raw, and it's at the end of Raw.
That's the other issue I have, is that this is the main event storyline. I would be okay with this if it was, you know, secondary to possibly CM Punk or, you know, the World Heavyweight Championship picture. But this is the main program. Okay. How are you? You're just asking fans over 15 years old to tune out because I don't want to watch it.
Well, my first question for you, Corey, did WWE rehire Vince Russo or something? Like,
sure looks like
that's what it seems like. Yeah. I mean, this is Russo bad almost. Mm-hmm. You know, and if not, who's writing this crap? Really?
And what's the purpose behind this whole angle? Is it going to be that Cena's turning heel? No. What's it going to be? The Kane is... Like, I personally think this is going to transition into Kane versus Ryder.
This is... That's a good... yeah.
That's what I think
is
going to happen.
This is what I think. I think this is just the building blocks for what's going to happen at the actual WrestleMania 28 event. I personally believe that we are going to see a John Cena heel turn. It's going to be in WrestleMania. It's going to be in the main event against The Rock. But these are just the building blocks, building up his eventual heel turn to, you know, until WrestleMania when it actually happens. Because, I mean, let's face it, a John Cena heel turn, we've said it before, that's something that's going to be huge. And where else could you have something that huge but at the biggest show of them all, right?
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, it definitely does look like they could be setting it up for that. You know, after WrestleMania is over, when they are showing how this all came to be, this video content would be perfect. I mean, it is going to be good highlight reel material for when he does. But if he doesn't, let's just say John Cena doesn't, where does it go? What's the point of this?
I know. I can honestly see this maybe just even filtering out and they totally forget about it.
Oh, like everything they've done this year, or in 2011? I mean, that's pretty much what it was.
It's just things filter away, and there's no payoff, there's no build for it. And it's like, my main complaint and question, Corey, is like, why is this the main event program when your champion, CM Punk, I mean, he's way more interesting, and he's wrestling way better matches. So why is this your main event program? Because it's John Cena?
Exactly.
Because you got to keep him relevant because The Rock's coming down the road?
They cannot seem to just have Cena take a small backseat role to anyone else. Everyone wants to see CM Punk in the main program and wants to see him run with the title and actually have, you know, a good saga with this belt.
That's what I'd like to see.
But he's pushed below Cena for what? Kane coming out from underneath the ring?
I think it's because WWE has put themselves in a corner with this big dream match that's going to happen at WrestleMania between The Rock and Cena. They've put themselves in a corner, so they have to keep Cena in the spotlight now. For these next 3 months, all the way up until WrestleMania happens, they have to keep Cena in the forefront. And unfortunately, they're using this piss-poor program with Kane to do it.
Do you think they're regretting making that decision a year out in advance?
Probably a few of them.
Yeah.
Probably a few of them somewhere in the back are regretting it, but...
I don't know. I can't... It's just... Come on. Like, this is not the main program. This shouldn't be. You know?
It just feels like they're just latching Cena on to guys who are popular, like Zack Ryder and you know, the re-debuting Kane, to keep Cena relevant heading into WrestleMania. Because, like I just said, they've backed themselves into a corner now. Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's move on. I could go at this for a while.
No kidding.
The show's supposed to be only an hour, so. Okay, James, there's one thing I want to talk about, and that is a very interesting dilemma. It's not really related to the WWE storylines per se, but it has to do with the WWE Network that's been announced. So there's the infamous music that they're going to be using, or that they have been using, for this WWE Network.
Man, isn't that promo video they use really hard to watch? It's like you need 3D glasses or something. It hurts the eyes.
It's true.
You know?
Now, sources are saying that this has been pushed back. This whole network was supposed to launch on April 1st, and if you remember, earlier in 2011, I'd say mid-2011, they were actually advertising a April 1st a launch. Well, now, if you watch these promo commercials, it just says 2012.
Oh, there's a reason for that, Corey. And let me run this down for you here while I got you. So back in September of last year, actually, Corey, WWE announced it was going to launch its own network, and it was going to be all full of new and original content. And like you said, the launch date was going to be April 1st, which was, of course, the same day as their biggest show of the year, WrestleMania 28. Now, Corey, to date, only three shows have been announced for the network. One, of course, is being the Legends House, which is like a reality-type show that's got a slew of old ex-WWE stars living underneath one roof. And then there's now this new Countdown show, which is going to be like an interactive show that's going to have different topics, and it's going to be based on, you know, fans voting on the WWE website, which is kind of cool. I think that's a kind of a cool idea.
Yeah.
And then the third one, Corey, is the WrestleMania Rewind. And this is only a three-episode series that's going to recap every WrestleMania from the first one back in 1985 to this year's in Miami.
Well, I like the ideas that they have. I mean, I really think that when this network launches, I really believe that people are going to be interested. I mean, I'm interested. I know you're interested.
Oh, I'm totally interested to see what it's going to be like.
But the best decision they made was to push this back. Because let's be honest, there's been absolutely no direction with how this thing is going to launch.
And yeah, it's.
I've seen no job postings for the new WWE Network. I mean, I've been looking. I've never seen any job postings for any major role to launch this WWE Network. I've heard nothing from any cable subscriber, or from cable provider, I should say. There's been nothing.
Have you, being in the television industry like you are, have what, like, what, tell me, what?
Nothing.
Have you haven't
nothing.
Heard anything, eh?
You, there's nothing to tell, because there's nothing being done. There's no negotiations being had. I mean, how can you advertise? How can you launch these promos advertising a WWE network, but not even know how you're going to get it to the people? Yeah. Doesn't that just scream it's a little premature to be advertising it?
Well, I mean, I guess that's why a lot of, you know, TV insiders are staying away from this project. They feel like it's doomed to failure. Because, I mean, you're right. There's no clear creative vision with this whole project.
The only thing I know that they've done is they've gone and obtained I think it's a $500 million line of credit. For if this whole thing fails, they have a financial backer to you know, get themselves out of the hole that they've dug, right?
So, well, that's smart, yeah.
Yeah, but still, I mean, you haven't done anything. Apparently, a couple weeks from now, they're going to be shooting this Legends House reality show.
In Palm Springs,
yeah,
right?
It's going to be 10 episodes. But when is it going to air? You don't know. And let me tell you this. You just mentioned three shows to launch on the WWE Network. You gotta have more three.
You gotta have more than three shows.
You do. I mean, unless you're just gonna be showing archive footage for the other 22 hours in the day. I mean, there needs to be more. We need to have more information, especially if you were supposed to launch on April 1st. I mean, we're cutting it close.
And not only that, I mean, they're plugging original new content in all their in this hard to watch video that we see every week on Raw. New original content. Mm-hmm. That's what the WWE Universe demands. I mean, it's all we ever see on this promo.
Part of me believes that the reason why this is being rushed is because Vince McMahon wants the network up and running before he leaves the WWE. Like, I really think that. Like, I think he wants this to be part of his legacy. When he goes out, he wants to be the one responsible for getting the WWE Network on the air. It doesn't look like it's happening at this point. And I think he's probably pissed about it. And he's probably the one that's forcing them to run these network ads to get everyone moving on it.
Well, you know what, Corey? If he was smart, he would allow the required time to do this properly. Because if you rush and you push something like this out, it's just going to be a failure. A complete failure and flop from the start.
Like almost every storyline that they ever come up with. I mean, they rush everything. Why is this any different? I don't know.
Well, what do you think of them hosting the 8 secondary pay-per-views on the network, but keeping the big four like WrestleMania, Survivor Series,
SummerSlam
for pay-per-view only.
Yeah, so the big four, yeah. They would air pay-per-views as the big four, and all their other in-between pay-per-views would be on
the
network.
They'd be like a special show or whatever they'd have on the network.
I think that's a great idea.
I do too. You know what? There's just way too many pay-per-views.
But it takes a lot of money to get a network launched. It takes a lot of negotiations. And it takes a lot of manpower. And I haven't seen any manpower being hired at this point. So I'm wondering if this thing even happens in 2012. I really have a hard time believing that.
Do you think they have the resources to pull off a project as massive as this?
Well, they have the money, absolutely. I mean, they're a multi-million dollar company with virtually no debt. So, yeah, if anyone has the money to launch a cable network, it is the WWE. I mean, television is their business. But they have to expand upon what they're already doing. And you can't ask the people who are already working 40 hours a week to also launch a cable network on the side. It doesn't work like
that. No, fair enough.
You got to get your ass in gear. And that's one thing I haven't really noticed with this project is the only thing we've seen is a commercial that, you know, the editing department has put together. Other than that, we've seen nothing. So there's absolutely no way this is launching at April 1st.
No.
Or April. It was either April 2nd or April 1st.
No, it was supposed to be the exact day of WrestleMania.
Yeah.
So April 1st was the tentative launch.
Not happening.
Okay, let me shoot this at you, Corey. Do you think a fall launch is too soon even?
if I don't see something in the next month, yes, it is too soon. Something has to happen.
I'm not in television, so I'm
asking you. No, something has to happen in a month. Because you have to go and negotiate with all these cable providers. You don't just make a channel and then say, you know, hope everyone picks it up. It doesn't work like that. You have to launch a channel knowing that cable providers are going to subscribe to it.
Yeah.
If they're not, then you have no one watching.
Fair enough.
So they have to get out there and do some negotiating. Like, they are a far ways away from making this happen.
Now, I don't know if you know, Corey, but Oprah and the NFL, they're having troubles keeping their networks afloat. So, I mean, do you think the WWE has a chance?
Well, when
powerhouses like Oprah and the NFL are having trouble with their networks?
I just feel like the WWE audience is a very loyal audience. And, you know, it's a very targeted audience. So if they can get it off the ground and they can convince people to subscribe to it, then yes, I think it would be successful. The other big problem that they would have with it is that a lot of their viewing audience are kids. So you need to convince their parents to also subscribe to it.
Well,
you know?
Yeah, I know. I totally agree with you. So
we got to move on.
But yeah.
All right, James. No, we do. I mean, we got it.
We are running out of time here.
Okay, so there wasn't one big announcement at Monday Night Raw this week. And that was the first and the main event Hall of Fame induction.
The headliner.
And are you going to unveil who it was?
None other than Adam Copeland, the man we all know as Edge. Mm-hmm. One of my personal favorites, actually, because he's a Canuck fan.
So instead of talking about it, just because we're running out of time, we decided to put a little package together to basically...
Just because we love Edge so much.
And to celebrate his upcoming WWE Hall of Fame induction.
This is what you get on SRL when you're a Canuck fan.
8 years ago, I broke my neck. I knew that I was wrestling on borrowed time from that point on. So fast forward, the last little while, I've been in a lot of pain. The WWE wanted me to go get more tests, and thankfully I did, because the MRI showed that that I have to retire. So far away
from knowing where I'm going. A career cut short, a flame forced to burn out, a chapter in a book closed. Adam Copeland was forced into retirement less than a week after his WrestleMania match with Alberto Del Rio in 2011, where he successfully defended his World Heavyweight Championship. It would prove to be Adam's last match in the WWE after doctors told him he could no longer compete.
But if you ask me if I would do all of this again, vlog all the miles, hop on all the flights, all the sleepless nights, all the surgeries, if you ask me if I'd do it again, in a heartbeat.
Thirty-one championship titles. That includes 11 major titles, four-time WWE champion, and seven-time world heavyweight champion, which is the current record. No one holds more. He held the Intercontinental Championship 5 times, the United States Championship once, and let's not forget about the 14 tag team titles he held throughout the years. Other than Kurt Angle, Edge is the only wrestler to have held every active male title in the WWE. Now, in addition to all 31 titles, Edge was the 2001 King of the Ring, the inaugural winner of the Money in the Bank ladder match, and the 2010 Royal Rumble winner. Was there ever a doubt that the rated R superstar would not be an eventual Hall of Famer? Almost a complete lock from his first day on the job, Adam Copeland, better known to the fans as Edge, will finally get his deserving spot in the Grand Hall.
I'm going to miss all of this, all of it. I'm going to miss that reaction when I hear my music and I come out on the ramp. It's like a shot of adrenaline straight to the heart from you guys, and it's amazing. I can't describe it.
Well, the good news, Adam, is that you're going to hear those cheers one more time, and rightfully so, because on March 31st, 2012, Edge will be inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame on a night right before the big show itself, WrestleMania 28. Yes, a career cut, far too short, but one that lived up to all the hype.
No matter what, I came out here and I tried to give you guys as much as I had every single night. And in turn, you guys gave it right back to me. So thank you. Thank you very much.
So there you have it. Adam Copeland, Edge, getting inducted in the WWE Hall of Fame.
And a more deserving individual there isn't, I tell you.
No, That's a for sure bet. The only thing I'm actually surprised with in this situation is just how soon he's getting inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame.
Oh, I'm not surprised at all.
No?
No, he deserves to be in right away.
You don't think they should have to wait amount of time?
The guy's the 2001 King of the Ring. He won the very first Money in the Bank ladder match. He's the 2010 Royal Rumble winner. He's the only wrestler in history to have accomplished that feat. Nobody else has done that.
Yeah.
He absolutely deserves to be in the Hall of Fame right away.
And there was a second announcement made on Monday Night Raw for the second inductee into the Hall of Fame.
That's right. The Four Horsemen, which consist of Ric Flair, Tully Blanchard, Arn Anderson, and Barry Windham. Mm-hmm. But since we're running a little short on time here, we'll go get a little bit more into the Four Horsemen, I think, on the next episode.
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely. We got to take a little break, but coming up on Smack Talk Radio Live, we're going to be speaking live with Mike Sweetser. I knew I'd screw that up.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, he's the owner of ECCW. There were some big announcements made at their recent Kitsilano show.
That's right, there was.
And we're going to catch up with Mike Sweetser and find out what the lowdown is with everything going on there.
Also, in tonight's Top 5, we're going to be going over the Top 5 Worst Gimmicks. Kind of a throw to Brodus Clay there, but...
And it's our post-to-post report next.
This is Smack Talk Radio Live. Let a year pass by, but don't feel like much. So if I got one chance, motherfucker, I'ma make y'all dance. I'ma have as much fun as I can and figure out the rest when I hatch out a plan.
Catching you up with the business of the business. It's time for the post-to-post report.
All right, the post-to-post report, catching you up with the business
of the business. I almost got you that time. I'm going to get you one of these weeks.
Can I just finish a sentence once without you chiming in?
Absolutely not. How long have you worked with me now?
I know. Way too long already. And we haven't even officially launched yet. There's something wrong with that, isn't there? Well, before we get into the post-report, James, I wanted to quickly let you know that today I purchased our Hall of Fame tickets for when we go to Miami.
Beautiful. So we'll be there live in person to see Adam Copeland, the man we were just talking about, inducted into the Hall of Fame. I'm excited, man.
We got really good seats, actually. We're sitting row 18 just to the left. Well, if you're looking at the stage, we would be sitting to the right of the stage, row 18. We're so close to the action.
A little bit more than I wanted to pay for the tickets, but that was offset by the great deal that we got on our hotel that we also booked today, wasn't it?
Yes, because we are staying right on South Beach. I mean, we couldn't get any closer to the beach. We're going to be looking out our window and boom, there is nothing but blue ocean.
I could literally stand on my porch and pee on South Beach if I wanted to.
Wow. That's where we're going.
That's how close we are.
All right. On that note, we're kicking off the post-to-post report this week with an update to what I briefly mentioned last week on the show, and that was this ongoing social media battle between Kevin Nash and Jim Hellwig, better known as the Ultimate Warrior. Now, I got to say, James, this has become downright entertaining because, as I said before, Kevin Nash has actually challenged Warrior to an MMA-style fight one day before WrestleMania in Miami. Once Nash called out Warrior, Dragon Gate USA, an indie fed, of course, who does a show the day before WrestleMania in Miami, offered up the show and venue to make it happen. Warrior responded to Nash by posting a YouTube video in which he states that under the terms and conditions that Nash offered, his answer would be no. However, if Nash did find a financial investor for the fight and put up good money to both competitors and was given ample time to train for such a fight, Warrior would have no problems kicking Nash's ass. Nash responded on Twitter by saying, "What does he want? $1 billion? How about this, Jim? You pick the time and place for free and for fun." Now Hulk Hogan has chimed in as well, posting on Twitter, "In a real fight, Nash would destroy the underdog Warrior."
Who do you think would win that fight?
I think it's, without question, I think it would be the Ultimate Warrior.
You think Warrior, really?
Absolutely. I don't think Kevin Nash has a chance. When you get to that age, your size works against you in a real fight. The guy, his legs would,
He's all legs. Yeah, well, and his mobility is just crap too,
Ultimate Warrior has praised himself off being athletic and fit, and if you give him the time to train, I bet you he would look the exact same like he did in the 80s.
That'd be quite an embarrassment for Kevin Nash, eh?
I'd love to see it.
Now, remember when The Rock made his return last year and he called John Cena Fruity Pebbles? Well, it looks like the WWE and Cena are going to capitalize off it. Now, Post Cereal and the WWE have partnered up together to have John Cena temporarily replace Fred Flintstone as the face on the box for the legendary Fruity Pebbles cereal, along with an instant win promotion in which grand prize winners will receive a VIP meet and greet with Cena, priority seating and transportation to a WWE live event, and an autographed Rise Above Hate t-shirt. This campaign will also highlight John Cena's two major charities, the Make-A-Wish Foundation and the Be A Star anti-bullying campaign. Now, The Rock, using Twitter to fuel their storyline together, wrote, I assume my royalty check for this is in the mail. You're welcome, John.
Pretty good.
I'm going to buy, just for the whole collectability of it, I'm going to buy a box of Fruity Pebbles with John Cena's face on it.
Well, you're going to have to go down to the United States because you can't
buy
them in
Canada. I will go down to the United States to get a box of John Cena Fruity Pebbles.
Triple H attended New York Giants team practice on Wednesday as they prepared for their upcoming NFL playoff game against the Green Bay Packers on Sunday. Now, some sources say that Triple H was in town with WWE officials to try and finalize a deal to bring WrestleMania 29 or 30 to MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey. Rumors, however, are also running rampant that WrestleMania 29 or 30 could be held at Cowboys Stadium in Dallas, Texas. Now, typically, the WWE hosts the 10-year anniversary at Madison Square Garden, but they may be breaking the norm for the 30th year. It could shape up that 29 be in New Jersey, New York, and have 30 in Texas, and that would be because speculation is that the WWE would beat the NFL to the punch by hosting WrestleMania before the Super Bowl, which is slated to be at MetLife Stadium in February of 2014.
And finally, speaking with TMZ.com earlier today, Hulk Hogan says he plans to shave off his trademark facial hair and skullet for a film role.
Big move.
Hogan was quoted as saying he's getting ready to go on some auditions. I'm getting ready to shave my head and my mustache, so that should be scary. Now, this clip comes after Hogan underwent dental surgery on Tuesday evening, which resulted in doctors removing a metal tack from his mouth, ouch, and cleaning up the surrounding infection. Last October, Hogan had a sinus graft done, placing a donor bone in the mouth to support the implant. Hogan's lesson for the day, Corey? Brush your teeth and don't eat candy before going to bed.
Now, some breaking news that happened late this afternoon was the fact that Ric Flair was doing a public appearance at a Walmart, I believe, and he has officially stated that he will be at the WWE Hall of Fame ceremony when the Four Horsemen get inducted.
Oh, I'm glad we're going.
All right. Let's get into the financials as we do each and every week. The current WWE stock price is $9.75 a share. That's only up 25 cents from last week.
Hey, at least it's up.
Now, in terms of television ratings, the January 9th Monday Night Raw scored a 2.87 rating this week, down from a 3.1 rating last week, and the lowest rating since December 12th. It was also the second lowest since September when the fall season began. Now, Raw averaged 4 million viewers, down 10% compared to last week. The first hour averaged 4.09 million viewers. Second hour dropped to an average of 3.92 million viewers, continuing that trend. Now, Raw was opposed this week by the big BCS national title game, which averaged 24.4 million viewers. And, of course, the regular slate of History Channel programming didn't help.
Damn that History Channel.
Now, during Monday's Raw, James, you may remember the segment where Eve made her way to the ring to battle Divas champion Beth Phoenix, but instead of the Glamazon making her way to the ring, the arena went red and Kane's music played. Zack Ryder ran down to the ring trying to help her, and then they went to her car. You remember that segment, obviously.
Terrible.
Well, guess what? Hopefully this says something to the creative staff, because that segment lost 544,000 viewers to score a 2.39 cable rating, which possibly could be the lowest rated quarter hour for a non-holiday episode of Raw in a decade.
My question is, they only lost 500,000 viewers?
Yeah, well,
I would have thought it would have been more after
that
garbage.
But that's a huge drop.
That is huge, yes.
So, that is your post-to-post report this week, James.
Beautiful. We just caught you up on the business.
I'm not saying it.
You suck.
All right, let's just throw out some quick attendance numbers for recent WWE house shows. Why don't you go ahead and do that, James?
Okay, December 12th, the Slammies Raw from Norfolk, Virginia drew about 6,400 fans for a gate of about 200,000. Now, Raw, the house show on January 6th in Jackson, Mississippi, drew 7,000 fans for a gate of 200K. And Raw on the Raw House Show on the 7th of January in Texas drew 4,500 fans for a gate of 120,000. Raw on the 8th of January in Texas drew 4,500 fans for a gate of 140K roughly. SmackDown on the 7th in Montgomery drew 3,500 fans for a gate of 100K. SmackDown on the 8th in Baton Rouge, Louisiana drew 3,500 fans for a gate of 120,000.
Okay, now coming up on Smack Talk Radio Live, well, coming up next, I'm going to say, the local wrestling scene. We're talking with Mike Sweetser, owner of ECCW up in the, of course, Vancouver, Pacific Northwest region. And there were some big changes that happened last week there, so we're going to catch up with him.
Also in tonight's top five, we are going to run down, thanks to Brodus Clay, the top five worst gimmicks.
This is Smack Talk Radio Live.
The local wrestling scene, bringing you up to date with the promotions all over the Pacific Northwest.
Turn my mic on there.
That'll work.
All right, the local wrestling scene, catching you up to date with everything happening around the Pacific Northwest. Just as the man says. Maybe I should just stop repeating what the guy says. What do you think? All right, in this segment, we always talk local wrestling. What's going on?
We got a really good guest tonight.
Yeah, we do have an excellent guest. I'll get to him in 1 second. Now, there were some major changes with Extreme Canadian Championship Wrestling. That was ECCW, of course. Mm-hmm. And before we get going, if you do want any information on them, of course, you can check out www.eccw.com. Now, James, what is your thoughts on the name Extreme Canadian Championship Wrestling?
Well, you don't really see extreme in wrestling anymore these days, do you? When was the last time you saw a real hardcore match on Monday Night Raw or SmackDown?
Well, I don't see it so much in the WWE per se, but in terms of the wrestling that we see here in Vancouver, there still is a very extreme element to it.
I mean,
Moondog Manson, I mean, I remember watching,
that's true.
What was that one match that we saw with ECCW where they had four tables with thumbtacks?
That was him.
Or sorry, with barbed wire in the corners.
That was Moondog Manson versus Ravenous Randy, I believe.
Yeah, and I can't remember the name of that match, but that was quite a hardcore match. I mean, they still exist, don't you think?
They do.
But you're saying the times are changing.
Are hardcore matches relevant anymore? That's my question.
Yeah. Well, I tend to agree with you. I mean, in today's society, it's probably looked down upon to be having those types of matches, and maybe this has to do with it, maybe it doesn't, because ECCW actually changed their name last week. And to get more on this whole topic and just why they did that, we have the owner of ECCW, Mike Sweetser. God, I can't get
used
to
that. You're gonna get that
wrong. Mike, you there, buddy?
I'm here. How's it going?
Not too bad. How are you, sir?
Excellent. Thanks for having me on the show.
Hey, no worries.
Thanks for being on the show. We appreciate it.
Now, I always want to call you for some reason Mike Sweetser. I can't get that off the tip of my tongue. Am I the only one that makes that mistake? Or
absolutely not. It's something I've been dealing with for 33 years now, and I'll probably deal with it for another 33.
Okay, so you are the owner of ECCW, as we have already mentioned. Before we get into the whole thing, why don't you just give everyone a background on just how you got into professional wrestling, where you've come from, because I missed the early part of your career, as I'm sure other people have. And I mean, for you to go from nowhere to owner, there's got to be quite a story with that.
Absolutely. Fill us in.
Well, absolutely. I started from the from the same place everybody else has, a fan watching from the outside in January 2005 when I first began viewing ECCW. I live down in the Washington State area. Still do at this point. I'm in the KFC's at Washington right now. I started going to the shows and also working with the ECCW personnel, doing both photography and working on the website, www.eccw.com. Starting in late 2006, I underwent training in the Washington State area to become a referee and did that up until I became the NWA representative to ECCW in 2008.
Hmm. Okay, so you are not an active wrestler per se. Have you ever wrestled before?
I have had a few matches here and there. Unfortunately, not exactly with the results I want, other than the costume battle royale last October.
I see, when you dressed up as CM Punk, if I remember correctly.
Absolutely, and won the match single-handedly, may I ask.
That is right. I forgot about that part. You did win the match.
That was a good costume.
Yeah, it was very good.
Thank you.
Not as good as the Chris Jericho though in the crowd.
I was in Chicago the week before. Where do you think I got the shirt from?
Oh, nice.
Perfect.
Now, here's a question for you. Do you have the shirt with the date on the back? Because I don't know if you know this, but some of the CM Punk shirts have the date on the back, and some of them don't.
Absolutely. If you check out the videos and check out the photos that are on the ECCW Facebook page, and indeed does say Surrey BC 102811.
Wow. I'm talking about the CM Punk shirt, though, on the back of the CM Punk shirt. That's...
Yes, I do. I, as a matter of fact, do have one of those shirts.
Oh, okay. Wow. That's worth a lot of money, actually.
One day that will
be.
Just today. Yeah. Okay, so there was an announcement made in Kitsilano last week. The ECCW was changing their name from Extreme Canadian Championship Wrestling to Elite Canadian Championship Wrestling. Can you tell us and the audience what the realm of thinking was behind that?
Well, basically, it goes to what you guys were discussing earlier. The time of extreme, hardcore, garbage wrestling, whatever you want to call it, to us in ECCW has come and gone. For the past 16 years, ECCW has built itself on blood and guts, on hardcore matches, the hardcore championship, Moondog Manson, Juggernaut. The list of hardcore wrestlers in ECCW goes on and on. Scotty Mack, the crown jewel of my administration, two-time hardcore champion, the current hardcore champion, mind you. And basically, it has become time for a change in ECCW. Every promotion that has ever gone under in pro wrestling has done so because they have not evolved with the times. It's a way of business. It's a way of life. You either adapt to a changing environment or you die. WCW, ECW, World Class, the AWA, promotions up and down the line. And as the owner of ECCW, I refused to let ECCW fall into the same trap. It became obvious that it was time for a change and time to, as I said in Vancouver, remove the extreme from ECCW.
Now, what's the reaction been from the fans so far? Has it been positive?
Actually, it's been overwhelmingly positive, which has been a very pleasant surprise to me. I expected a little more pushback from some of the fans because you've seen how they've reacted when I lost the Hardcore Championship. You saw how they reacted in my dealings with Moondog Manson. I expected a lot more pushback, but it's been extremely positive both in person and online on the Facebook, on the Twitter site, 3CCW, and on my own Twitter, Michael Sweetser.
Now, how about... go ahead.
Some of the reaction... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was just going to ask, in contrast to the fans, what's the reaction been like in the locker room?
I think a lot of the people backstage are taking a wait-and-see mentality on it. I mean, obviously, my administration is in full support of this. Natural Selection seems to be in full support of this. I have not spoken to a number of the hardcore wrestlers, such as Cremator or Moondog Manson, because the face of Manson and I aren't exactly on speaking terms. And Cremator doesn't talk to anybody. But right now, it's either a positive reaction or a wait and see. They want to see where things are going. Yes, I'm sure a lot of people are.
Now, does this... This is a little off topic, but does this decision have anything to do with the fact that when you are, let's say, looking for sponsorships for the ECCW, or you're looking for people to advertise, or you're just dealing with the business community, does the word Extreme Canadian Championship Wrestling, is it usually considered like quite a negative connotation, and is it quite difficult to find that, to find those streams of revenue? Does this name change play into that in any sort of way?
Honestly, it isn't a huge issue because most of the time when we're dealing in that nature, we don't use the full name. They don't go by full name. All they know really is the initial ECCW. Getting sponsors, getting businesses involved with it is a problem for professional wrestling as a whole. Look at the issues WWE's had in the past trying to get sponsors themselves. Mm-hmm. But it hasn't really been a major thing. It is definitely a plus to be able to use a name such as Elite Canadian Championship Wrestling.
And that leads me to my next question. Using the name Elite does put yourself above a certain caliber of other wrestling organizations out there. Where do you find ECCW sits among the other organizations in the Pacific Northwest and possibly Canada?
ECCW is the top independent promotion in Canada and in the Pacific Northwest. I say that without any hesitation. It is Elite Canadian Championship Wrestling because we have the most elite athletes in the wrestling industry in Canada as part of ECCW, just up and down the line. Like I've said, my administration, Scotty Mack, Nick Price, Artemis Spencer, the Canadian Heavyweight Champion, Tony Baroni, the Sirius, up and down the line, the best wrestlers in Canada are in Elite Canadian Championship Wrestling.
So where does this
take... We call ourselves the best because we are the best.
Okay, fair enough.
That works.
I wouldn't disagree with you. So where does this take you guys next then? I mean, you got the name change. Is there other big plans in the works or no, not at this point?
Well, if I told you all the plans that were coming up in the next few months, I'd be telling, wouldn't I?
Mm-hmm. I know, but it's my job to try.
Okay, Michael, I'd like to switch gears on you here a little bit. I just want to ask you about the Pacific Cup tournament that's going to be happening this year. Now, I heard that it's going to be happening at the end of February as opposed to June when you guys usually hold the tournament. What's the reasoning behind that, the thinking behind that?
Part of it is the scheduling. As you've probably heard, it is going to be a two-night, 16-man tournament this year. And this time, that was just happened to be where it fell in our scheduling. Being able to get the Brisbane Hall in Surrey on Friday, February 24th, and the Rush Community Center in Vancouver on Saturday, February 25th. To be able to do a back-to-back tournament like that requires a lot of planning and a lot of negotiations, and that happens to be where it happens to be this year.
Fair enough.
And with this recent name change, have you you've unveiled a new title, I understand, mm-hmm. the ECCW title. Now, there's a bit of a change in terms of you've eliminated weight classes from the whole equation. Is that correct?
Correct. This started when I de-unified the ECCW Championship from the NWA Canadian Championship. The whole weight class thing has been in place for 70 years. It was put into place by the National Wrestling Alliance, of which Elite Canadian Championship Wrestling is still a member. In my opinion, with the talent that we've got in ECCW, weight classes are a thing of the past. You've got people like Scotty Mack going toe-to-toe, head-to-head with Jason Sullivan. You have people like Bishop just flying through the air. You've got Artemis Spencer and Tony Baroni having tremendous matches for the Canadian Heavyweight Championship. So weight classes do not matter. What matters is the talent that's taking place inside the ring. That's why we've essentially gotten rid of weight classes. The Canadian Junior Heavyweight Championship has been retired and resides with Nick Price now and forever.
Now, how did
the ECCW Championship, go ahead.
I was just going to ask, how did Nick Price take the news? I mean, because you essentially stripped him of a title that he had recently won at Halloween Hell, is that right?
I wouldn't look at it so much as stripping him of the championship, but as recognizing that there will not be a greater junior heavyweight champion in Canadian NWA history than Nick Price. There's no point in continuing it when it's not going to get any better than it is now.
Mm-hmm. All right, fair enough. Is there anything else you want to talk about with us on Smack Talk Radio Live?
Basically, regarding the ECCW Championship again, we are going to have a new ECCW champion on January 27th in Surrey when we complete the ECCW Championship tournament.
Yeah. So explain just quickly. Explain that tournament. Just quickly explain that tournament and just what that's all about.
Well, now that the championship has been deunified, we need to crown a new ECCW champion. We started the tournament on December 30th, continued on January 7th, and we have five people remaining in the tournament. Tony Baroni and Nick Price will meet in the final quarterfinal match. Looking at my notes once again. Jordy Taylor and Pete Powers in the semifinal, and whoever wins between Price and Baroni will be meeting El Fantasma. And then the final will be the first ladder match in Surrey in 9 years.
Okay.
Wow.
So when would be your next show again? Just so everyone out there can look for it.
Next show is January 27th.
January 27th at Bridgeview Hall?
Absolutely. And it will also have a dream match between two ECCW legends Gorgeous Michelle Starr taking out Scotty Mack.
How difficult has it been to bring Michelle Starr back to the ECCW? I know there was some animosity there in the past. It seems to have been, you know, it seems to have been put aside now. But is everyone on good terms in that department? Are Scotty and Michelle, or are you and, you know, anyone else that's involved in the executive department? Are they, is it all in good terms now?
I think we're on pretty much speaking terms and on good terms at this point. We have a number of all-star competitors, obviously Michelle Starr, Disco Fury, Sammy Hall and Raven Lake were just part of our Vancouver show last weekend. And we have a number of ECCW competitors that are taking place on All-Star shows. The tag team champions, Ravenous Randy and Alex Plexus, are facing Michelle Starr and Disco Fury, I believe, tomorrow night at All-Stars events. So yes. At this point, there's definitely some coexisting going on, and I think it'll be best for both promotions.
Alrighty, we're out of time, but before we get out of here, I have to ask you, I heard you have beef with Corey Basso, our local wrestling insider. I heard you might be calling him out one of these days. Do you want to get it out on the air right now while you have the opportunity?
Well, I had him to read his review of Halloween Hell, which was obviously well-written and has gotten a lot of response, but there's definitely a line in there that I wanted to take a little offense to, and I quote, "This CM Punk had gained probably about 100 pounds eating WWE ice cream bars."
Yeah.
First off, as CM Punk has stated, it is impossible to find WWE ice cream bars, and I definitely wouldn't eat them.
That is true.
Number two, I don't know if you've seen photos of me over the past 6 months, but I've actually lost about 40 pounds.
I haven't seen you for a while. I'm sorry. I
probably weigh less than CM Punk, and honestly, not to be insulting, but probably weigh less than about 90% of the people listening to this interview right now.
You quite possibly could be right. So
also, he failed to notice me knocking Duffman's lights out with a picture-perfect go to sleep.
Hmm. Won you the Rumble? Is that right?
Absolutely. Went right over the top of the floor, and I'm sitting there right in the middle of the ring where I belong, victorious.
So do you have a rebuttal for Corey? Do you have anything you want to, you know, get back at him with, or are we going to leave it at that?
More just keep the facts straight, and as the old saying goes, make sure to make your words soft and sweet in case you have to eat them later.
Very well said. Michael, thank you very much. I really appreciate you coming on the program. We hope to do this again with you in the future, and we're looking forward to your next event.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
All right. Thanks a lot. That was Michael Sweetser, the owner of the ECCW.
Seems like a cool guy.
Yeah. So what do you think, James?
Well, I think that's going to be quite the event there at the end of January.
Yeah. And what do you think of the whole name change?
I like it. I think Elite sounds a lot more classy than Extreme, and I think it's going to be nothing but good things for them going forward.
Do you really feel that they are the number one independent promotion in Canada?
I do, yes. Yeah. I've been to a lot of their shows. I've seen their production value. I've seen the talent that they have in the ring. I totally agree with them. They are the number one indie fed in Canada.
I just really think they need to get... I just really want them to improve on their video content, because they're such a great promotion. It's just the rest of the world doesn't know that. And the only way you can change everyone's minds or convince everyone that you are is by producing that video
content.
They
have such a good product. I have no idea why they're not on local television of some sort.
Well, I know the reason, but I'll keep that story for another day.
All right.
Coming up on the show, James?
Coming up next, tonight's top five, and we're going over the top five worst gimmicks.
This is Smack Talk Radio Live.
You're listening to Smack Talk Radio Live. Helping you remember what most of us couldn't. Tonight's top five.
All right, welcome back to Smack Talk Radio Live.
Tonight's top five.
And we're going with what again, James?
We're going over, once again, tonight, we're going over the top five worst gimmicks, thanks to Brodus Clay.
There we go. All right, number five, the Yeti. Luckily, this abomination of a gimmick was only used a few times before being forced back into the WCW history books, debuting at a Block of Ice on October 23rd, 1995 episode of Monday Nitro. Ron Rice or Reese?
Reese.
Reese. Was dubbed the Yeti, a member of the Dungeon of Doom, which was rivaling Hulk Hogan at the time. Now, when the ice thawed, the Yeti was revealed to be actually a cheap-looking mummy who interfered on behalf of the Giant in his match with Hulk Hogan, poorly executing a tandem bear hug.
Looked like he was dry-humping him.
Now, he later wrestled at the World War III pay-per-view, only this time he appeared as a ninja. Eventually, he was billed as the Super Giant Ninja for a short appearance before the character was dropped, and he became a member of Raven's flock as Reese.
You remember Reese, right?
Yes, I do, now that you've said that.
Okay, we're moving on to number four, Kerwin White. After a successful run in the Cruiserweight division on SmackDown, which saw several short title reigns, Chavo Guerrero Jr. was drafted over to Raw and denounced his Mexican heritage, changing his name to Kerwin White. Now, as White, Guerrero played the Middle American Caucasian stereotype to a T, pun intended, driving a golf cart to the ring and wearing a button-up shirt with a sweater tied around his neck. His caddy, who was actually future superstar Dolph Ziggler, would assist him in his matches and would sometimes work as his tag team partner. Now, the Kerwin White gimmick was dropped after the unfortunate death of Eddie Guerrero, and then Chavo went back to his regular name and regular gimmick.
This would bring us to number three. I don't have anything to say about that one, do you?
Kerwin White?
Yeah.
Other than it was pretty tasteless.
Yeah, that is true, actually.
Okay, number three, Isaac Yankem, DDS. Though he has since become one of the most successful wrestlers as far as longevity goes, Glenn Jacobs, better known today as The Undertaker's brother Kane, had one crazy gimmick when he first debuted in the WWE. Isaac Yankem, DDS, was Jerry Lawler's dentist, if you can believe it. Now, Yankem frequently wrestled Bret Hart in place of Jerry Lawler, even including a match at SummerSlam back in 1995. Yankem, dressed in dentist scrubs, and his entrance music would kick off with the sound of a drill, something that would just, you'd feel it in your feelings. Now, after the Yankem gimmick was dropped, Jacob spent a short time as the Imposter Diesel. You remember that? Imposter,
yeah.
Diesel and Razor Ramon? And then he eventually became the monster we all know as Kane back in 1997.
Now, if Brodus Clay wants to follow in the footsteps of anyone re-debut on Raw, it would be Isaac
just
Yankem.
Just watch Glenn Jacobs, absolutely.
All right, this brings us to number two, the Shockmaster, the one you love so much, James. Now, if you don't know who the Shockmaster is, then you need to brush up on your wrestling history. Now, what do you get when you mix former WWE Tag Team Champion Fred Ottman, a Star Wars Stormtrooper mask covered in glitter, and a long black vest and a piece of lumber carelessly placed on the floor? Well, one of the most unintentionally funny moments in television history, that's what.
You got that right.
Ottman even described the gimmick saying, "They put me in a Stormtrooper mask, which they painted and covered in glitter. I couldn't see a thing. I got to the wall and put my hands up like a double axe handle and burst through. The top broke perfectly, but the bottom didn't give. The momentum took me through the wall and the floor." If you even listen closely, you can hear the British Bulldog exclaiming, "He fell flat on his effing arse," during the promo they were cutting at the time.
I'm telling you, people, if you have not seen this, YouTube the Shockmaster, you are in for a laugh. Absolutely.
Okay, so this would bring us to our number one
worst gimmick.
And you know, when it's so hot, so long, well, that means that the incubation is all over. And that means a lot of us are looking forward to seeing this gigantic egg. Wherever that came from, I'm sure it had to hurt. But this egg is going to hatch here tonight. As a matter of fact, hold on. This cracks me up. I can hear it starting to creak and crack right now. Everybody has speculated as to what might be in the egg. Is it a dinosaur? Is it a rabbit? Balloons? Is it the Playmate of the Month? Who knows? Well, the way it sounds to me right now, the speculating is all over. Oh, stand back.
Oh, look at
stand
the crunch.
Back. I think that egg is ready to blow. Oh.
Oh, there it is.
What
is it?
What in the world?
I love it.
Oh, my God.
Well, there you have it. Number one worst gimmick goes to none other than the Gobbledygooker. And the reason that this horrendous gimmick made number one was just simply for the build-up surrounding it. Like, for months leading up to the 1990 Survivor Series, they had this mysterious egg on display, and it was promised to hatch at the event. Now, the result was Hector Guerrero in a cartoonish turkey suit. Like, just terrible. I mean, the event was so hyped, and the result was so terrible, that it was an instant failure. The announcers and commentators, Mean Gene, Gorilla Monsoon, Roddy Piper, they all tried to play up the Gooker, but you know what, man, it just did not help. Now, after the Survivor Series, the gimmick was abandoned, leaving the question of whether the Gobbledygooker was supposed to be just like a one-night gimmick, or was canned immediately due to the negative response. Well, I think you got your answer right there. The Gobbledygooker has made several sporadic comedic appearances over the years, most recently including a gimmick battle royal at WrestleMania 17. Do you remember that one?
Yes. But you know who I feel bad the most out of that entire situation?
Hector Guerrero?
No. Mean Gene Okerlund. They just threw him out there. Like, he must have thought the whole thing was ridiculous while he was doing it.
And he had to work with, he had nothing to work with. It was just,
God, it was, what were they thinking with
what
that?
What do you say about the Gobbledygooker?
Have they ever come out with what they were thinking with that whole storyline?
Were they ever, was he going to be like a wrestler? Was he going to work in that costume? Like,
I don't know. Like, what, I just don't get it.
It's one of those things where you just shake your head and go, what were they thinking?
Do you think they were trying to get Twitter plugs at that time? No.
I can probably go on record as saying the Gobbledygooker was not trending worldwide at the time.
Exactly. I don't even think the internet was around at that time, was it?
No.
I don't think so either. Okay, James, we're running out of time. We're way over this week.
Are we? Because we've had so much to talk about. It's been such a good show.
So much to talk about or so much to bitch about? I can't quite decide.
A little column A, a little column B.
We didn't even really get to any Royal Rumble talk tonight.
Well, we're going to have to save that for the next episode, which actually won't be next week, won't it?
No, we are going to take a one week break, and that is for a good reason. I am in the process of transferring over our entire radio show setup to this new MacBook that I had bought last week.
New equipment, better show.
Unfortunately, like I said, if we're going to go mobile, I have to...
We have to do this.
We have to do it. We need a week off. I need to troubleshoot all the bugs, and it's just... It's got to happen now as opposed to later, because the last thing I want to do as we head into those final weeks up to WrestleMania is to take a break. So I figure it's better for everyone if we take a break now.
We have to do this. Like,
yeah,
for the show to go on and to be the best that it's going to be, we got to switch over the technology. So yeah. Unfortunately, I know you're crying at home, but there'll be no Smack Talk next week.
I'm sure they're losing sleep over it.
Absolutely.
All right. This was Smack Talk Radio Live. Again, www.smacktalkradiolive.com. And please, everyone, join in on facebook.com/smacktalkradio. That is where you're going to get all the latest updates.
And don't forget, on air at smacktalkradiolive.com. That's our email address. If you got any comments, opinions, you just want to say something to us, make it good. Shoot it over. If it doesn't suck, we'll put it on the air.
So you won't see us next week, or you won't hear us next week, I should say, but you'll hear us the week after. I'm Corey Callahan.
I'm James McDonald.
This was Smack Talk Radio Live on a Thursday night.
And we are out of here. We'll see you in 2 weeks.